it's on a, like a 30-second delay, the microphone, that is. Hello? Is it there yet? Not there yet? It'll give me a chance to get set up while it's getting ready, right? Can you, people in the front row can hear me. See, the people in the front row, they got that. The ones in the back, they're like, what'd he say? What'd he say? All right. Good morning. God bless you. It is a blessing and a privilege to stand in front of you this morning. I want to say thank you for the opportunity to cover the pulpit. Thank you for the opportunity to get called up from the bullpen. It's always exciting for me. I really look forward to it for that. So let's see. We're going to get started here this morning. And I wanted to first kind of just give you a quick kind of history of like how Father's Day got started. It originated back in 1924. A young lady was sitting in church, actually in 1909, which I thought was pretty fascinating that she was sitting in church, and that's kind of how it all began. It was during a Mother's Day sermon that she was listening to, and she was thinking about how she loved her father and just the sacrifices that he put through and how courageous he was and how selfless he was, and she thought that there should be a Father's Day. So President Calvin Coolidge in 1924 set aside the third Sunday in June for Father's Day. See, guys, it was a woman that had our back, right? Knew what he was doing there. So what I wanted to say is whether you are a father celebrating the life or memory of your father this morning, I hope that you have a great Father's Day for all those fathers who are here. And let me say this, and I pray that if there's anything in this message that we're going to go through here that you remember, please remember this, that if you had a great father, if you had a great grandfather, or if you had a great stepfather, and for you fathers to be, praise God for that father in your life. If you feel like maybe you didn't have a good earthly father, I want you to know that you have a heavenly father that will never let you down. So amen for that. So I have a couple of gifts that we're going to hand out here first. I see Miss Jillian back there. She wasn't here the Sunday that Pastor Steve handed out the graduation gift. So Jillian, come on down here and receive your graduation gift, please. Come on down, Jillian. Jillian was one of our graduates at New Hope. I feel like I got a little feedback there at New Hope. And Jillian, on behalf of New Hope Christian School, Ms. Sissy, Pastor Steve in the church, here's a God's Promises for Graduates of 2018. So thank you, Ms. Sissy. Give everybody, Jillian, a round of applause. All right. And then now I would like to get some of the kids, some of the youth, if you will help me out. We put together some gifts for the dads, granddads out there. So some of you kids, will y'all come down forward. There are some Father's Day gifts right here. If y'all, yeah, that's right, ladies, come on down. The kids are like, who's he talking to? So if y'all hand out some of the fishing lures to them, so just grab some. Cooper, come on down, help out. I see some of you kids still like sitting back there, and you're like, I'm not sure. This one's like sliding down. There you go, Blake. Come on down, Blake. Help him out. Hand him out. That's right, fellas, come on down and help out. There's quite a few dads out there. That's right, look, one sitting on the front row. So just grab a handful of them and pass them out to the dads out there. Make sure everybody gets one. There we go. What's that? Yeah, if dads are out there, raise your hand and give these kids like an idea who they're giving it to. Sometimes the dads are like just like the kids sometimes, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that guys, that's one per dad, not one per child. Right. Someone's like, I got five kids, I need five. One per dad. If you are a fisherman, I hope this helps you out on the water. If you are not a fisherman, I hope this helps you remind you that you are to be a fisher of men. Ma'am? You know, I thank you so much. Fantastic. Yeah, if we we have some extra ones. Yeah, if your dad's not here, please take one for your dad, or some of you guys want to take one to your father to give later. That would be fantastic, certainly. All right, everybody, did everybody get one? Everybody get two? At least one? At least one. Not yet. All right. It's raining out there anyway. I don't think the fishing's good when it's raining, right? Is that what they say? I don't know. Of course, I guess any time's a good time to go fishing. On Sunday, there we go. That's amen, Sunday, right. All righty, so today, I pray that this message will be a blessing to you. I pray that it will encourage you. I pray that it will challenge you. But most importantly, I pray that it will point you to God the Father.
Amen.
And through His Son, Jesus, which shed His blood on the cross for each and every one of us. So that's my prayer for you this morning. And if you would just bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer real fast here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity that we can gather in your name, in your house. Lord, I just lift up this time we have with you. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will have its will and its way with me and my message and the word spoken here today. We pray, Lord, that it would honor and glorify you. Lift up the congregation to you this morning, Father. Lift up all the fathers present here and the families that they represent. We lift up those who couldn't be with us this morning, Lord. We lift them up. We pray that you would just speak to their heart, to their mind, and to their spirit. We pray for their families, which they lead, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom and direction to the sermon that can only come from you. We pray for those who are here this morning that do not know you as their Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation, and today that they would come into your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So, fathers, we got a few of them here. Raise your hand. Just kind of give me an idea of how many fathers we have present here. So we have three. We have three fathers. All right. So three fathers. Fantastic. You know, the birth of a child is really short of a miracle. Having the opportunity to participate in the delivery and the process of my own children really brings back some fond memories. I can remember being in there and got the opportunity. They gave me the scissors, which I don't know what they're thinking. I'm like, you know, you're like half out of it. They're giving me sharp objects. And so I got to cut the cord. And then I remember I got to give my kids their first bath, which was amazing. I got to give them their first feeding, I guess, in like real-time air. You know, this was fantastic. It was really one of the proudest days of my life, especially when my first was born, being a new father, first-time dad. And I can remember it was on December the 9th, 2002, when Grace was born. Me and my wife were trying to decide what time it was. I can't really remember exactly what time it was. I had a lot of coffee at that point. So I was just, I was all over the place. I know, right? I was just everywhere on that. And then, so I calculated the time that it's been. And this is what I came up with. It's been 15 years, 6 months, 13 days, 21 hours. 5,674 days, 20 hours, 56 minutes, 11 seconds. 490,308,971 seconds total. 8,171,816 minutes. 136,196 hours. And 810 weeks. I'm a proud father. I kept track. Let's see, but I don't know. It was something that I found online where you could calculate all this time, right? But I really wanted to know, like, how long has this been? Let me ask you guys out there, you dads out there, do you have nicknames for your kids? I know as my kids were growing up, I've had nicknames, and now my kids are, like, slowly going down in the pew. Grace, when she was born, her nickname was Sweet Pea, and even now I call her Sweet Pea, like, when her friends are around, she's... Cooper, believe it or not, even as lean as he is, I used to call him Meat because he was just this little chubby kid, just big and thick. So his nickname was Meat. And then for my Lily, I've always called her Monkey. She's just my little monkey because she's like she is all over the place. But as dads, and for being dads, I would say as being a dad for me, it has been quite the learning process. We've always told our kids, we have never been parents to a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 7-year-old at the same time. So it's been new ground. It's a new territory for us, and we're kind of learning. We're learning as we go. We're really getting on the job training as I'm sure all you dads out there probably shaking your head, yes, it has been quite the experience. Dr. James Dodson wrote this. He said, good fathers are made, not born. I am still in the makings of that process. But we learn a lot from God's word, and we also learn a lot from the other dads out there, fathers who have been there. Just the other day, I was talking to Pastor Steve, telling him that Grace is now taking driver's lessons. And he gave me some really good advice. And I thought, maybe I should wait. Maybe I shouldn't share this. Maybe I should wait while we're driving and share it with her, the advice that Pastor Steve gave me while I'm working on driving. And his advice was, stop. Stop. And I was like, he starts yelling this at me. And I was like, stop talking. Stop what? But that was his advice. It's like to get them ready for the unexpected. And it's true, because we're out driving with Grace the other day, and sure enough, a car did back out of the driveway, and I think in my mind I was yelling, oh, stop. And it wasn't her fault. The van was blocked, but it wasn't her fault. But as we're in this learning process, oftentimes as a dad, I feel like some of those dads that I see on TV. But more times than not, I feel like Fred Flintstone more than I do Andy Griffith. And I just think to myself, I really want to be the kind of dad that my dog knows that I am. Because when I come home, my dog is like excited and he's all over the place. And that's the kind of father that I want to be. But as Father's Day comes and approaches, our families, they kind of decide, like, what are they going to get for Father's Day? What would be the perfect gift for dad? Is it a new tie that we're looking for? Is it maybe the latest remote control that we want to operate all of the appliances that we could get? My wife would probably like me to have that one so I can do more around the house. Do we want breakfast? Is that what we want, breakfast in bed, or maybe taken out to lunch? Are we looking for the latest fishing magazine or maybe even the latest tackle tool? I think each one of us guys, we kind of have our own things that we're into, and our kids know this and our family knows this. But I thought about this, and I thought maybe I should really bring it to a more personal answer. And what would I want for Father's Day? And unfortunately, I think it's really something that my family can't give me. It's I want to be a better father. I want to be a perfect father. And I want to be the kind of father that I see in our Heavenly Father. And that's what I want. I want the wisdom. I want the vision. I want to be able to say and do the right thing at the right time. And oftentimes, if you're like me, it's on down the road when I think, I should have said that. Oh, I missed my... Whether it's good wisdom or something, I wish I would have said the right thing at the right time. But, and we want our children to know that we hope that they're doing well and that they're healthy. And we as dads want our children to be wise and equipped to handle this world. As I look out there, I see some dads just kind of shaking their head like, this is what we want. We want them to know that that they can always come home. And no matter what this life brings them, that the door is always open. And doesn't that sound like our Heavenly Father? But our Heavenly Father has the wisdom to know that we learn the hard way. But He loves and He welcomes us back. Anytime that we goof things up, and oftentimes or not, I feel like I goof up a lot. I feel like I make mistakes sometimes, and I think, man. But our Heavenly Father, He never says, told you so. I told you so. Listen to the words in Psalms 105. It says this, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And as a father, I think about that for my kids, that His faithfulness will continue after I'm gone. After He's called me home, I know that my Heavenly Father loves them more than I ever could. And He is perfect, and He knows what to say and what to do just at the right time. But we still move off. We still go our own way. And a lot of us, when we did that, we never really expected to return back home. I can remember being a kid thinking the same thing. I just can't wait. I just can't wait to move out. I just can't wait to leave my parents' house. But our Heavenly Father, He patiently waits for our return. It reminds me of a parable in Luke 15 where this father, he's anxiously waiting for his son to return. Let me read the account for you. It says, by while he was still A long way off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. The son said to the father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine who was dead and is alive again, he is lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You know, I think what an earthly father wants is just what the heavenly father wants. But earthly fathers, we're at a slight disadvantage. We would love to be perfect, but most of us know that we're not. I know that I'm not a perfect father. But just like the heavenly father, I wait to hear from my kids. It's funny, a lot of times it's like we want like our personal time or our time away from the kids. But when they're away, it's like I miss them, little rascals. It's been not at grandma's house, and I miss them. I'm like, we had to call and see what's happening. They only live like four or five houses down. I'm going to call and see what's happened. Or now, maybe we'd say, I wait for them to text to be back. Yeah. It's like, did you call them? No, but I text them. I'm just waiting to text them back. And it's funny because now I think sometimes we'll text them when they're in the room. What are you doing? You know, they do that. But your Heavenly Father, He loves to hear from each one of you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to call Him. And I said, I think about that, and I think He sent us the first text, which was His text, and He sent this to us. And there's nothing He would like more on this Father's Day than to hear from His children. I know for a long time my dad would say that. He's like, I just want to hear from you, even if it's for a moment. I just want to hear your voice for a moment just to know that you're okay. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. You don't have to tell me everything. Yep, okay. That's all he wanted. Are you okay? So I pray this, that today, the Father's here today, would pen this message from the Holy Spirit to your heart to rise to the challenge of being a godly father. Listen to the words in Psalms 101. It says this, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come for me? I will conduct my affairs in my house with a blameless heart. I tell you, as a father, that's what I strive to do, is conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. There's so much wisdom in the Word of God for fathers, for families, for dads. I found this. It said, someone wrote these humorous words, the world according to dad. These are a few of those things. And see if you've been, I don't want to say guilty, but see if some of you dads have said this before as well. It says, I know when we give money to our daughter, it's bring back the change. It never seems to find its way back, right? And bring back the change. I've probably said this one. There's a, how should I know? Go ask your mother. Somebody spend the night? I don't know. Go ask your mother. This one, I have said this one. It says, why is the front door wide open? Am I made of money? I've said that one quite a few times. Then you could go on to say, well, who pays the bills around here, mister? Or if you're talking to one of your girls, Missy. I know my wife's dad has said this a time or two. He says, I wouldn't sleep. I was just resting my eyes. I was resting my eyes yesterday holding the couch down in place. I like this one. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Leg's broken. And then this one's always pretty popular. Why? Because I told you so. That's why. I say that one a lot, too. You better pick that junk up before your mom gets home. And this one I love. Just wait till you have kids. You ever said that one? This one's always popular when you're about to give them a spanking. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Right. And the one that I personally, when I was working on this yesterday, I was asking my kids, like, what is something I say? And they're like, I don't really know. And then they, it's not really what I say, it's what I do when I get angry or frustrated, upset. Right. Or if I'm wearing a hat, I'll take my hat off and I just have to, I don't know if I'm pulling my hair out or scratching it, but those are some of the things that I do. And as I went through this list, I can tell that some of you do that. Some of you probably have your own things that you do. But as dads, we seem to give a lot of advice. And we seem to give it whether it's a warrant or not. You need advice, we'll give you some. Just wait around long enough, we will give you advice on whatever it may be. But how well are we at taking it? and listening to it? How well are we at working through the advice that we've been given? I remember one time I was putting up a ceiling fan. It took me 3 hours. I was on the ladder. My father-in-law was down. He's like, do this. And I'm like, I got it. And sure enough, the next one took me 15 minutes. I listened to him. 3 hours me doing it on my own, just working through it. And he's just sitting down there like, mm-hmm. Then the next one, I'm like, what did you say again? Oh, look at there. It went really quick. It went really fast. So where we find ourselves today is, since it's Father's Day, is we're going to take a look at some men who tried to go fishing. And if you'll join me in John 21, we're going to read this fishing account of some disciples as they listen to Jesus. And we'll see how Jesus gave some advice to some local fishermen. I thought, since it was Father's Day, maybe a fishing story might perk you up. So John 21, it's page 906 if you have my Bible. Is everybody there? All right. It's a pretty long account. I think it's 14 whole verses. If you would like to stand, you can stand if you'd like. If not, you're more than welcome to sit there and listen to the fishing story. So John chapter 21. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathan from Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples, were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And just like all guys, what do we say? I'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it the Lord?" As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the nets ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the nets did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Thank you for standing. You may have a seat. That's a pretty wild fishing tale. This is the seventh appearance of Christ after his resurrection, being on the side of the Sea of Galilee. But in verse 14, it tells us it was the third time that he appeared to the disciples as a group. The words in verse 1 tell us that not only did he appear, but he really revealed himself to these fishermen. And he showed us his character and his love and his forgiveness. And Jesus wants to show that in your life. He wants to be more than a story to you. He wants to show himself real to you. Now, the picture here is of the disciples, kind of what they were thinking about. Jesus had already been crucified and raised from the dead. He had showed himself there, but he had given these disciples orders. If you remember, he told them to go make other disciples all around the world. But he was obviously, Jesus was not with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as he was when he was walking with them during his ministry. Now, these guys, they probably felt a little lost. But he had given them orders. And what do we do? And where do we go from here? I'm sure it's what they felt. What do we do now? Any of you guys ever feel like that? What do I do now? where do I go from this point forward? What's my next step? A lot of times what we do is what's comfortable when we get a setback. And in times of crisis, we cling to our own safety nets. And think about it in your lives right now, like what is your safety net? What do you cling to in your time of crisis? A lot of us, we want to be able to control our circumstances. But then we also retreat to our safe places. We would like to feel comfortable. Now, the seven were out fishing. But imagine at this point, they probably were thinking, like most dads and most fathers, is we have to support our family. We also have to eat. And there's nothing wrong with that. They have to support themselves. And for them, they were fishermen, so they thought, why not just go back to doing what we used to do? Any of you ever been guilty of that? Just go back, and I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because this is what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing. I tell the kids that's like the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing, expecting different results. Just keep on, keeping on, keeping on. Now, since they retreated back to that, it wasn't necessarily wrong. It wasn't totally wrong for them to want to eat, right? Would you like to eat today? I think many of you probably have meals planned after this, probably a nice lunch or a nice dinner. To support their families, I think us as fathers and as dads, that's top on our list, to take care of our kids and take care of our families. So those things were not wrong. But these guys have been called to not fish for fish anymore, but for people. Jesus had given them a new purpose in life. So they were really running from uncertainty. They were running as disobedient witnesses. They were called to trust him with their emotions, with their physical needs, and also with their financial well-being. Some of you today may be running or hiding from what God wants you to do. Maybe not a call to a ministry as a disciples, but some of you may be so. Maybe your call refers to a ministry in this church or in this town. Maybe your call involves an issue of faith or an issue of trust. Maybe your call refers to some issue in your own life that you just don't want to surrender just yet. So whether it's a good reason or a bad reason, Jesus is still asking you to cast your nets and to follow him. We see a couple of threads that run through this story, and first of all, it's this, is Jesus shows himself to a bunch of disobedient witnesses, and we can see that Jesus sets the example, and he loves them anyway. And oftentimes, as fathers, I always tell our kids, there's nothing you could do to make me love you any less. Our Heavenly Father is nothing any different. There's nothing you can do to make him love him less, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. The second thought of this story is, running from Jesus really always leads to frustration. Verse 3 says this, they fished all night and caught nothing. These guys, most of them, were experienced fishermen. Think about going to your job that you've had so much experience and just being a complete failure. They fished all night and caught nothing. Whenever they threw in the nets, they expected to catch fish. And they're pulling them up, and nothing's coming up, time after time. Imagine those nets are pretty heavy. Pulling the ropes, throwing them over, pulling them back, throwing them over. You guys who fish, would that be annoying to you to keep on keeping on and catching no fish? I've been on some fishing expeditions like this with a fishing pole, throwing it out, reeling in. And then I thought, well, I got to bounce it a little bit. Or maybe I got to move a little bit. I'm trying, like, everything that I know, and believe me, when it comes to fishing, it's not a lot. But I know to throw it out in the water, and then maybe once in a while I'll reel it in. I can imagine how frustrated they were. And if God is asking you to do something, maybe something like ask for forgiveness, or maybe something like give forgiveness, commit yourself to him daily, or maybe turn from an action, or maybe turn from an attitude. Or maybe do something out of love for someone. Maybe come to a prayer meeting. Maybe come to church on the Sunday that it's raining. Maybe you should just say, here I am. Lord, I'm yours. Take me. Just cleanse me, show me, and then use me. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If God is asking you to do that, and you're not doing it, you will live a life of frustration. I lived that life for a long time. You will work and see no results. You will try hard and come up empty. You will search for fulfillment and joy and come up dry. You'll lay your head on the pillow at night and ask if it all matters. Will anybody remember me in 100 years from now? And I think about that, and I think that's what a real legacy is leaving that for my kids. And I think about from that my kids, when they grow up, like, will they have fishing stories? Not a lot. They'll have stories of summer camp, a youth camp? Probably so. I think that's the stories they're going to tell. It won't be fishing stories. Like, I remember my dad preached this two-hour message on Zacchaeus. In the summertime, it was hot. I think that's an awesome story for your kid to tell. I would love to hear that story one day from their eyes, from their perspective. All right. And then verse 4 says this. It's like, as the morning broke, the disciples, they were on their way back, and then Jesus showed up. Have you ever been there in your life? Like, you're just doing what you're doing, and then Jesus showed up. And he says, he called them. He says, friends, haven't you any fish? Kind of almost reminded them about how poorly they were really doing. And perhaps, I think, you could read through this account, and you could almost miss this. This right here, I think, could be one of the best miracles in the Bible. I know you're thinking of all the miracles that Jesus formed. I think this could be the best one, because we know what happens right here? A group of fishermen, they told the truth. Right there. They said, no. Haven't you caught any fish? No. No elaboration, no details. No, my line got hung up. The sun wasn't right. It was raining. These guys held their head down, I think, and just simply said, no. No, I didn't catch anything. No. It's funny that they didn't recognize Christ at first. And then I think maybe their spiritual eyes were not open to truly see Jesus at that moment. They were being disobedient. They weren't doing what Christ had called them to do. They'd kind of gone their own way for a short time. Maybe it was because they're about 300 feet from the shore. So I figure that's maybe about from here to the road. Maybe it was just the haze of the morning. At any rate, he hollered some advice to them, and he said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Have you ever been fishing with somebody like that? Like somebody that, you're just doing what you're doing. Like, hey, why don't you throw it on this side? Why don't you do this? And usually, you know what my response is? This is my first rodeo. I've been fishing before. Or whatever it is, right? I think as guys, we like that. It's not my first rodeo. I don't know what they said back then, but it was something similar. This is not my first rodeo. I can imagine these experienced guys in a boat thinking that. They didn't need some so-called expert from the shore who doesn't even have a boat to tell them to fish. It's really a crazy suggestion. These guys are fishermen. They know how to fish. Last time I checked, water is water. Water is water, whether it's on this side of the boat or this side of the boat. Switching sides really should not matter. It was really a crazy suggestion. And oftentimes I find, though, when Christ suggests something crazy, works. Not only did it work, though, they said here, they did it anyway. And I've been to that point, too, where I've just been so frustrated and somebody gives me an off-the-wall system. Like, why not? Why not? I'm going to give it a try. Why not? And so they tried it, and they began catching fish. And the Bible says that they caught exactly 153 fish. I've never been on a fishing trip where I've caught that many fish. I've caught three. Never 153. And they counted, and I thought to myself, like, why does the Bible tell us 153 fish? Why do these guys count? I think bragging rights, maybe. If I was out with you and I caught nothing, you caught 153, I'd be had pictures of every one. Here's fish 150. Here's fish 152. I caught, well, here's finally, like, family photos, and here's fish 153. Look at her in her glory. I don't know why. But I was talking to Ron the other day, and we were talking about biblical numbers. And when I hear a number like this or something very specific like this in the Bible, I think there's got to be a reason why the Bible went 153. So I really started doing some research and stuff like why 153. And if you're interested in Bible numbers, I wanted to put a little bit in here for you because I find it kind of fascinating. And it said 153 is divisible by three. And if you look at the accounts of Jesus and the things that happened in three, it's kind of remarkable how they do add up. Here are a few things. Think about the Trinity, God, the Father, and the Holy Son, or the Holy Spirit. Jesus rose on the third day. He prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was crucified on the third hour. There was 3 hours of darkness. A total of three were crucified. Jesus lived 33 years. Some would say 33 and a third. And his ministry lasted approximately 3 years. I don't know if there's something to that, but I thought that was kind of some interesting numbers that 153 was divisible by three, and yet there's three. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Maybe we'll run into another Bible study on that sometime, but it's pretty interesting. But whatever the case, Jesus' advice, whether how crazy it sounds, it actually worked for these guys. And I think that they heard the authority in his voice when he said, throw your nets on the other side. I think it was the authority coming from Christ. And some of you young people may agree, it's like when you hear your dad say something or your grandfather say something, there's like the voice, your normal everyday voice. And then at certain moments, there's like the voice that you hear that you know that, okay, I'm going to listen to dad what he says right now. Because I always tell my kids, when I hit that voice, I'm like, I'm going to say this to you. You're not going to like me after this if I have to keep going. But there's like this voice that we get. I don't know if it gets a little deeper, but it's definitely authority that happens. And then, so I think that's what happened here is they heard the authority of Christ, right? They listened to his words, and they turned frustration into fulfillment. And Jesus will bless you even more so if you take his word to heart. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches and of glory of Jesus Christ. To his riches and glory. He will meet all of your needs. James 1:7 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Sometimes following Jesus' commands sounds odd. Sometimes what Jesus wants us to do doesn't make any sense. I've felt prey to that before. I'd be like, Jesus, what? Here's a couple examples. March around the city. It'll destroy the walls. Putting singers first in a battle. You guys in band, how do you feel about that? We're going to war. I want you up front. I don't think so. All right. Turn the other cheek. Love those who hate you. Pray for your enemies. Saving the world through a man born a peasant to questionable parents almost sounds crazy. Yet God often uses the silly, the weak, the foolish. He uses those things to show us who he is. It's not always about what seems the wisest or the strongest. But trusting him in those things isn't much of a challenge if you're the smartest guy and the strongest guy. But when he fails, when he tells us to do something foolish. Have you ever been told to do something foolish? Like you knew God was speaking to you and he told you to do something foolish or he told you to do something difficult? Well, if you did that, that's when we really show our genuine faith. Is when he asks us to do something so out of the box, nobody else would believe it. Even yourself. And did you notice something that in verse 10, it says, when they landed, they saw Jesus, and he was making them breakfast. don't know about you, but that's got to be one awesome breakfast. I was reading that, and this breakfast is like toast, fried fish. In my mind, I automatically put in a cup of coffee. Just went right in there with it. I don't want to add or take away, but that surely is Jesus. He knows I want coffee. Sounds like a great breakfast. Why did Jesus tell them to bring their own fish? You ever notice that? Bring your own fish, even though he had some there. He did this in a lesson for us to trust him. And that's for you, and that's for me as well, that we can trust him. I wondered when I read this account, where did Jesus get the fish that he was already cooking? Where did his fish come from? I think about like maybe the original account, Jesus like, fish, follow me into the pan. They're probably like, we are. I don't think so. No. Come follow me. I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about as I was reading through that. Sounded not. But he shows us who he is. And I found it very interesting that that Peter immediately jumped in the water as soon as he recognized it was Christ. Immediately. Grabbed his stuff and jumped in the water. He didn't ask the guys, hey, is this a good idea? Should I do this? Can I get your opinion on this? John says, it's Jesus. Boom, Peter's in the water. I wish I was like Peter sometimes. There's Jesus. Here I go. I'm not asking your opinion. I'm not asking if you think this is a good idea. I'm not asking you to pray for me. There's Jesus. Here I go. He doesn't need us. And he doesn't need us to provide for him. He's the one that does the miracles, whether we help him or not. But he invites us to be a part of his plan. He wants us, and he can do anything without us, but he still wants to do it with us. You know, I think a lot of times, I can go cut the grass. I wouldn't mind if my kids came out and helped. I'd like it. It'd almost be fun if I could do something like that with them. I would enjoy that. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He would enjoy working with you. He wants to save your loved ones, preferably with your help. He wants to make the world a better place, preferably with your help. And remember what I said earlier, the disciples were called to trust him with their emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being. Jesus showed them that his way really is the best way. He told these experienced fishermen how to fish. He may tell you how to run your family. He may tell you how to operate your business. And he may tell you how to live your life. Won't you trust him today? Trust Jesus in all the areas of your life. Maybe be a little like Peter and just jump in the water. If Jesus is leading you to do something that you're scared of, if you're worried, what will happen to my family? What will happen to my job? What will happen to my personal life? If you'll do this, won't you let him show up in your life and take the frustration away? Won't you throw your nets on the other side of the boat? We've had them on this side of the boat. I know I keep my nets over here sometimes. Throw them to the other side. Won't you let him guide you to more fulfillment and more joy and a peace that passes understanding? I really think, and this is nothing new, really we should hold every thought captive to Christ. Romans 8:6 says this, but if the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I'm just entering, I think, kind of the heavy teenage years with my kids. I've talked to many parents when they've gone through this. It has been a battlefield going through those years. I know it was when I was a teenager. I look back when I was a teenager, and I had to finally come to my parents when I was an older and just say, I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was thinking. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm sorry. And so I think about this as we move into that era with our lives with teenagers, you know, a group of teenagers as they come through. I will say I'm blessed that I think I have really good kids. But I think it's because we've raised them in the way of the Lord. I'm almost ready to wrap it up. I wanted to read a newspaper ad from you from 1914. It's a help wanted ad, and it says this, and I'm going to read it in like a deep voice to make it really sound good. Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition only in case of success. You guys ready to sign up for that? I wouldn't be. Does it sound like fun? It does not. This is a recruitment ad that an explorer put in, Sir Ernest Shackleton, reported place to gather a crew for his expedition of Antarctic. Would you believe that 27 men showed up in response to this ad? I was pretty surprised. They answered Shackleton's call, even knowing the hardships and dangers that they would certainly face. I stand before you this morning to say Jesus has put an ad for you. Let me read this one to you. It comes out of Luke chapter 9. It says this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will live whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever should be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and to his Father's and the holy angels. Both of these expeditions offer adventure of a lifetime. Both are full of danger and hardship. Both have amazing rewards at the completed journey. And both groups are led by a person making the call. He'll be there to face whatever you face, offering guidance, counsel, and you won't be alone. Are you ready for that kind of adventure? Are you ready to be like Peter and just jump out of the boat? I ask you guys, are you ready? Are you ready to join Jesus and follow him all the way? I can't promise it'll be a safe ride. I can't promise it'll be an easy life. I can promise that in this life, you will have trials, you will have tribulation, and there will be hard times. But I think as dad, there are the highest of highs, and sometimes there are the lowest of lows. But for now, fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, even fathers-to-be, for some of you young guys out there, when you've decided to follow Jesus, your life will have a new purpose. Your life will have a new meaning and a new direction. And really, it just doesn't get any more exciting than that. Are you ready for that kind of living? And are you ready for that kind of adventure? I told you I'm just about getting ready to wrap it up. I know some of the kids and the youth are like, no, he means another 10 or 15 minutes at least. Trust me, I am almost there. So today, your Heavenly Father is calling you. He's been trying to get through to you for quite some time now. Long before you thought of him, he thought of you. Let him speak to you today. Remember what Jesus said to the first two disciples, the brothers, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Today, in our text, Jesus called Peter, and Peter jumped out of that boat and into the water, didn't ask questions. He followed Jesus. Have you ever felt that desperation for Jesus? Have you ever felt the desperation for forgiveness, to be clean, to be set free? Have you ever felt it? I often think that's what Peter felt as soon as he hit the water. Just, that's what he felt when he saw Jesus and leaped. Today, give him the best Father's Day gift you could ever give him. And that's you. Today is the day of your salvation. I pray that today that your name will be added into the Lamb's Book of Life. And that you would become a true child of the living God. Because Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hope has a new name, and his name is Jesus. That's all I have for you today. So I pray that our Heavenly Father will bless you and keep you, and I pray that his grace and peace will be with you today. I'm going to close in prayer. Then, Jeremiah, do you have a closing song? Closing song? So if you will, bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that we can gather together today and call you our Heavenly Father, and that you love us and you call us your children. Father, I lift up each person in this congregation here this morning. I pray that you would just speak to their heart and speak to their mind and to their spirit. I pray, Father, for those who do not know you, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray, Father, that we would truly just look to Christ. We thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you for loving us so much, Lord. We thank you that we can just gather in your name here today. We thank you for your forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Calvary. We thank you for all that you provide for us, Lord. I pray for each person that's here today that you would just continue to bless them so they would be a blessing to others. I pray, Lord, that you would give them words of encouragement so they would be encouragers to others. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You'd like to come down and have a word of prayer at the altar. The altar is open. If you'd like to come down, I'd be more than happy to pray with you. What song are you singing?
It was going to be In the Garden, but maybe it sounds like Trust and Obey.
Any song will do. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All righty. God bless you guys. Have an amazing, wonderful, and blessed Father's Day. Spend time with your families. There's no service tonight, so God bless you, and may His grace and peace be with you today.